Open up your Bibles if you have them with you this morning. Amen. If you will, open them up to the book of Matthew. Matthew, an easy book to find. Amen. The first book of the New Testament. Amen. Matthew chapter number 28, if you will, this morning. Matthew chapter number 28. As you're turning in your Bibles, I'll give you just a minute there. Again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in this morning. And thank the Lord for the opportunity to do this. First time we've ever done this before officially. And as I mentioned earlier, and I pray the Lord helps us through this. My prayer, my heart's desire is that the Lord uses this to minister, to strengthen, to help, to encourage somebody. Amen. And also to save somebody. Amen. That maybe don't know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity this morning to be with you in your home, to be with you in your car, wherever you're listening, however this morning, and I'm thankful for that. So Matthew chapter number 28 this morning, if you took the time and read the last 10 or so verses of Matthew 27, you would see in there it's talking about where they take the Lord Jesus Christ off the cross after He is crucified. And at the end of Matthew 27, they take His body, they lay it, Joseph of Arimathea takes it down, he lays it in a borrowed tomb. That's why we say borrowed tombs, because it wasn't his or his family's. It was somebody else who asked His body if they could take it down, put it in their tomb, and they did. Pilate gave them permission to do that. And then they asked if they could take and put a watch on the tomb and seal it and make it as sure as you can, is what Pilate told them. You go ahead and do that. And so He gave them permission, they did. And that's how verse 66 ends, where they sealed the sepulcher, or the tomb is the word we use a lot of times, setting a watch. They had guards at that tomb. In chapter number 28, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You this morning for everything that You've done. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the opportunity this morning to open Your Word together, dear Lord, over this live stream. Together, dear Lord, over this live stream. Dear Lord, I pray that You'd help us now this morning as we look into Your Word that is truth, and that You would speak to my heart and speak to every heart that's listening this morning, and have Your will and way, and impress upon our hearts this morning what this day is really all about. Thank You for being here with us and for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say this morning, before we get into the message, I think the Lord's given us a unique opportunity this morning. Unique, our first time on Facebook Live, officially. But also unique in that through the coronavirus and the things that went on and took place, the Lord has given us an opportunity to meet today, at this time, at this place, for such a time as this. And Lord knows, I would rather none of these things have happened. Amen. I'd rather the coronavirus, none of us to know about it, what it is, who it is, how it is, for it to totally be gone. Never have existed. But today, I believe the Lord has allowed, if you will, these things to happen. And they have happened, and they are happening, and they'll continue in the next coming weeks or days, however long, the Lord only knows. But as we live in the day and time that we are, I believe the Lord today is using this to try to turn our hearts to Him. To try to turn our hearts to what really matters in life. to turn our hearts to be more thankful, to turn our hearts to be more appreciative for the things that we have in this country, for the things that we have in our own personal families, for our families, for our lives, for our churches, for our friends, for even our lives, for our churches, for our friends, for even our job places. I know the Lord's done that with me the last few weeks. I found out I was essential. Amen. And that was kind of unique, but I'll leave that alone for another time. But here we see in chapter 28, as we go through the message this morning, I encourage you to keep that in mind. What has took place in your life to lead you to where you are this day? And allow the Lord to speak to your heart. We see here in chapter 28 that the Lord Jesus Christ had been there in the tomb. We see that in verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." We sung three songs this morning together. And the first, all three songs went toward talking about what Easter, Resurrection Sunday is all about. Amen. All three songs talked about that. Some today, they think that Easter, if you will, that Easter is about a lot of things. And it's not necessarily wrong to have all these other things. I don't believe with Easter. I'm not here today to preach against those things. I don't believe we should, as long as they're in the right place. Amen. We keep things in the right priority, keep things in the right place in our lives. All those other things are okay. But I say this morning, some people think Easter is only about the Easter egg hunt. Amen. Some kids, I know you out there and you're hating not to go on these big hunts that we always see all over the place around us. And you say, boy, it's just not Easter without the Easter egg hunt. And some people, Easter is all about the Easter bunny. Amen. The bunny. You think about it, it's all about the Easter bunny, some people would say. Some people would say today, no, Pastor, it's all about that ham. Amen. I got to have my ham if I'm going to have Easter. May I say to you, somebody that works in a grocery store, as most of you know, and some of you know real well that's listening to me, and you can say amen to this. If you got a ham, you're blessed. Amen. It was a hard time getting a ham this year. We were able to get one of the advantages of working in a store. Amen. But the ham. Some people, it's all about the ham. It's all about the macaroni and cheese. Amen. It's all about the sweet potato casserole or the green bean casserole. Amen. It's all about the cake. Amen. If you will. It's all about those things. And some people, it's all about the candy. Amen. Some boys, just the candy. All the candy at Easter. Our house will be full of candy. It always is after Easter. More candy than we'll ever know what to do with. And I'm sure yours is the same. And for some people, Easter is all about the cake, the candy, the macaroni and cheese, the ham, the Easter bunny, all these things. But may I say today, candy, that Easter is not about candy. It's not about, amen, the cake, amen. But Easter instead is about Christ, amen. Easter this morning is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Christ coming out of that tomb. Amen. It's about Christ rising again. All three songs this morning pointed to that fact that Christ came out of the tomb. But the one song that we sang, the second song, "He Lives," if you will, although I know they had similar titles, "He Lives," it made the comment in there in the chorus. It said these words, "You ask me how I know He lives." I've had people ask me that question before. Maybe some of you had too. "You ask me how I know He lives." The songwriter answers, he says, "He lives within my heart." This morning, I want to talk to you for a few minutes. The message the Lord's laid on our heart for this Easter is, does He live in your heart? Does He live in your heart this morning? Does He live in your heart? Here we see in verse number 1, the Bible says at the end of the chapter of Matthew 28:1, at the end of the verse, the Bible says, "Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." Sepulcher. That's the first point this morning of, does He live in your heart? Our first point is the sepulcher, or if you will, the tomb. Amen. But we're going to use the word sepulcher this morning. Amen. Because that's going to make all the alliteration right for the message. Amen. That we're supposed to do. But you think about the sepulcher or the tomb. Amen. If you will, we see here in verse 1, they came to see the sepulcher, if you will, where Jesus was buried. But in verse number 6, we see declared, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Amen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Amen. This verse really struck me, verse 6, because if the last word in that verse, lay, had a one letter different on the end, it would change the whole message. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Let me read it again with the S. Come, here He is not here, risen, for He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lays. That would mean He's still there. But the verse don't say that. It says, come see the place where the Lord lay. Amen. In other words, He is not in the sepulcher this morning. He does not live in the sepulcher. His body is not in the sepulcher. Amen. I know people, maybe some of y'all do, who have taken and went over to Israel. And the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was placed in that borrowed tomb that we're talking about this morning, if you will. And they went in there and they tell me, and we know that His body is not there. His bones are not there this morning. Amen. The sepulcher is empty. Amen. His body lay there, but it does not lay there now. Amen. Thank the Lord that His body was gone, they said in verse number 6. The sepulcher, if you will. But in John chapter number 20, there's a couple of verses there that are important this morning. There was something still there in that tomb, but it was not the bones. It was not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 20 and verse number 3, the Bible says, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulcher. Verse 4, and so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Amen. Then went in also that other disciple which first came to the sepulcher, and he saw and believe. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that He must rise again from the dead. So here we see that His bones wasn't there in the sepulcher. His body was not there in the sepulcher because He had risen. But His grave clothes, the linen cloth, the napkin that was over His face, it was still there. Amen. But He was not there. He was gone. He was out of that tomb. He was in heaven. Amen. Because Christ arose from the grave. Amen. He arose from that sepulcher, from that tomb. So we see that the grave clothes was there, the napkin was there in the sepulcher, but there was no bones in that tomb. I thought about, there's two songs that the Lord reminded me of, if you will, that are pretty decently well-known newer Southern gospel songs, if you will. And I'll give you the two titles, and then I'm going to put it together for you. The one song, it says, No Bones About It, the Kingdom Heirs. No bones about it. The second song says, Ain't No Bones. Amen. I love that word, ain't. Y'all know that's one of my favorites. Ain't No Bones. And that song sung by 11th Hour is the name of the group. And you put those two together, the Lord laid it on my heart this week, this thought. You put those two together and you get this. When you look in the sepulcher this morning, you see no bones about it. There ain't no bones. Amen. No bones about it this morning. There ain't no bones. Thank you, Lord. When you take and you look into that tomb, when they looked in the tomb, they said, there's no bones about it. There's no bones. There's the grave cloth. There's the napkin. But there's no bones here. Amen. Ain't no bones about that. Thank the Lord this morning. The first point is the sepulcher, the tomb. There's a grave clothes. There's a linen there. There's a napkin there. But there is no bones because He has risen. Amen. The second point this morning is found back in our text in Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew 28 verse 2. The Bible says, And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. The second point this morning is this: not only the sepulcher, but also the stone. Amen? The stone. Notice with me that before they could look into that tomb and see what was taking place, that stone had to be removed. And the Lord got that out of the way for them, amen, before they got there. Jesus rose from the grave. Then He took at a later time. He sent down an angel a little bit later, not much later. And that angel took, and what did He do? He rolled that stone away from that tomb in the front so they could go in and see the place where the Lord lay. So they could see that He was not there anymore. So they could see there was no bones. So they could see that there was no body. And you see, they went into the stone was rolled back. But notice the stone, according to the verse, if you read it again, is clear here. The Bible says, the Lord, in the middle of the verse, the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. In other words, the stone was not something that had to be rolled from out in front of the tomb so that Jesus could come out of the tomb. If I was in that tomb, it would be a miracle if I rose, that's for sure. But it would be even another miracle, if you will, if I could somehow get out of that tomb because it was sealed. There was guards, remember? There, as we said at the end of verse number chapter 27, you can read that later. And on top of that, remember, there was a big, huge stone at the opening, the entrance, if you will, of that tomb. And so we see that they took and the angel rolled that stone out of the way, not so Jesus could get out, but because He had done gone, but for the simple fact that people could see into that tomb and know, hey, He's alive. Amen. You think about this morning, that stone was rolled away so those people, so that others might see the Lord Jesus Christ. That reminds me of a lot of different things if you think about that stone that's in front, if you will. I'm glad today that the Lord took and rolled away August 22nd, 1992, when I was 8 years old. He took and rolled that stone away, if you will, of my heart and my life, and showed me what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. Showed me that He loved me. Showed me that He died for me. Showed me that He rose again 3 days later. And He did all that so that I could be saved. He showed me that I was a sinner. He showed me that I needed a Savior. And He took and convicted my heart that night that I needed to come to Him. And I came to Him and got saved. He rolled the stone away, if you will, for me, so that I might see my need of salvation. I ask you, has there been a time and place in your life today where the Lord has rolled that stone away for you, where the Lord has convicted your heart about that you need to come to know Him as your personal Savior, that you need to be saved, that you need to be forgiven of your sin, so that one day when your time here on this earth is up, and it will be one day for all of us, that we'll be ready to meet Him. Excuse me. You think about this morning with me, what a day that'll be. But do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? This hymn again said, "You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart." Today, could you say that from your heart? Could you say, "Yes, I know, Pastor, He lives." Not just because I've read it, not just because I've seen it on a TV show, not just because I've watched some video on YouTube, or not just that shows the tomb empty, or not just because I went talked to somebody who went and saw the tomb where Jesus was and it's gone, or not just because the pastor told me when I was little, or the Sunday school teacher told me that, or mama and daddy told me that. No, I know He's risen today, and I know that because He lives within my heart. Amen. In other words, He's made a difference in my life, is what I'm saying. Amen. And you think about simply today, I ask you, does He live within your heart? The title of the message. You see, when you go to the tomb, you see the sepulcher, if you will, and there's no bones there about it. He's gone. When you go there, you see the stone that's rolled away this morning. Amen. So that you and I could see, if you will, the way of salvation, so that we might see that He's gone, we might see that He's risen, so that we might see it is completed. One of those, there's a lot of things special to me about Easter, about Resurrection Sunday. But one of those things is it reminds me of my salvation, but it also reminds me of my son's salvation. Because about 3 years ago, in Sunday school, on Easter Sunday, Kelly was just teaching the lesson, my wife, and my oldest son took and said to her, "I want to be saved." She didn't even prompt him, didn't even ask him really. He just said, "I need to be saved." And she talked to him. We talked to him. He prayed and asked the Lord to save him. Today, I'm glad that he's alive. The last point this morning, if you will. The last point. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1 this morning. Colossians 1 and verse number 27. Colossians 1 and verse number 27. The Bible says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Notice that phrase, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The next verse says, whom we preach, warning every man. That's what I've been trying to do today. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Another word, simply this morning. Lastly, we see the sepulcher and the stone, but we see the saint. Or you could say the sinner. Because when you go to the tomb, you see why Christ came. There's this old song that some of you may know. It says, born to die upon Calvary. Born to die, the song goes on to say, that we might live. May I say today that He was born on Christmas so that He might live and then die on Easter. Die that couple of days before Easter and then rise again on Easter. Why? So that you might be saved. Because He loves you. As John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May I say today that you can have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You can become, if you will, a saint instead of being a sinner. You say, what's a saint? I know the Catholic Church has these people that they declare saints and things. May I say this simply from Scripture this morning without getting into all that, that a saint is anybody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's what the Bible tells us. You know Him as your personal Savior, you are in the eyes of God justified. Is a big word, but it simply means you're made just as if you're never sinned. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses away all stains, the Bible says. It washes it all away. Ephesians chapter number 3, I read you one more verse. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3 is another good verse that is along these same lines, if you will. Ephesians 3:17. The Bible says, here it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? The verse says, by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints, there's the word, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Do you know His love this morning? Which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, this morning I'm simply asking this in conclusion of this last point and of the message. He lives today. But do you know that He lives? Does He live within your heart? Do you believe that He lives today? Have you placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? We saw today from Scripture that Christ came out of the grave on Resurrection Easter Sunday that we're celebrating today. And He's alive forevermore. Amen? He'll never die again. But one day, barring the rapture, which is another whole subject, one day, you and me, if we live long enough, guess what's going to happen? We're going to die. I know it's something we don't like to talk about. It's something that is not something that, honestly, we're excited about in one way, if you will. I'm excited about seeing the Lord one day, but I'm not saying, woo, let me die. I don't, not like that, right? Amen? But I'm simply saying this morning that death, none of us are saying, I want to die. I hope not today. You think about, I'm simply saying this today, that one day when you die, will you be ready to meet Him? If that day happened to be one day this week when your life was to be over here on this earth, would you be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you be ready? Because when the Bible tells us clearly something in Hebrews 9 and verse number 27. It says, and It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, everybody's going to die. It's a fact of life if we live long enough. Amen. And so the question simply is this: do you know the Lord as your Savior? If that appointment with death was to come knocking this week, would you be ready to meet the Lord? Or would you say, no, hold on a minute, I'm not ready yet, I got to pray and ask the Lord to save me? There's so many people we try to talk to at different times about coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of the number one things people say to you a lot of times is this: I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to do it yet. May I say today, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. May I say today, God's given you an opportunity to ask the Lord to save you today. On what a day, this Easter Sunday, just like my oldest son did a few years ago. Today could be that day for you if you've never asked the Lord to save you. I think about, if you will, the hymn that we sung a while ago. I think about the if you will, the second hymn that we sung, He Lives, that we got the title of the message from this morning. It said again in the chorus, it said, you ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Today, the title of the message was simply, does He live in your heart? I close this morning with the history of how that hymn was written. The man that wrote that hymn, his name was Alfred Ackley. Alfred Ackley, that wrote that second song that we did this morning. Alfred Ackley was his name. And I'm going to read to you the history of that hymn, and I encourage you to listen very carefully. The history of the hymn. Why should I worship a dead Jew? Ask a young Jewish student of Alfred Ackley, an evangelistic preacher, one that wrote the song that we sing. They ask him, why should I worship a dead Jew? Why should I worship him? Ackley's response to the question echoes Matthew 28 and verse number 6. We read the verse a while ago. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Hymnologist George Sandville records Ackley's response to the young student that day that in turn led to the writing of this hymn. He asked the question again, why should I worship a dead Jew? The response from Alfred Ackley was this: He lives. I tell you, He is not dead, but lives here and now. Jesus Christ is more alive today than ever before. I can prove it, he said, by my own experience as well as the testimony of countless thousands. And it was from that question, from that young man to that preacher of why I should worship a dead Jew, that he was inspired and led by the answer the Lord gave him of, hey, He's alive. I tell you, He's not dead. He lives within my heart, if you will. And because of that, he took and wrote the song that we sung a while ago, He Lives Within My Heart. Amen. And so in other words today, no matter what despair, as the song says, though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. Amen. I see His hands of mercy leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing is going to come at last. Amen. This earth is temporal. We know that. One day it's going to end. But we think about simply this morning, I ask you, do you know that He lives within your heart this morning? Do you know that? Do you know that? Maybe today there's somebody sitting here that, as we conclude, that would say, Gerald, Pastor, I've never understood this thing about salvation. Maybe never even thought a lot about it, because my life's been so busy with other things. And I understand. But may I say today, this is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. This is the most important thing that you'll ever make a decision about. And if you decide to put it off and procrastinate, guess what? You're making a decision. Maybe the Lord will give you a second or a third chance later on down the road. He does that for many people, and thank the Lord for that. But sometimes, He doesn't. And I'm not trying to scare you today. I'm just trying to be honest with you because I love you. I care about you. Most of you listening this morning, I know very well, And may I say today, I love you. The Lord loves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And today I ask you, do you know Him as your Savior? Could you sing the song honestly this morning? You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. If you would this morning, bow your head just for a moment. We'd have an invitation, if you will, this morning just for a minute. And the invitation this morning, sometimes the Lord takes and He speaks to people's hearts about various things. With all your heads bowed and all your eyes closed, just you and the Lord. I don't know if somebody else is there with you in the living room or in the car. I encourage you all to bow your head and close your eyes. I want to ask you today and say that this message the Lord laid upon my heart today, I know the Lord has it for somebody out there. Is it for you? We ought to, as believers, rejoice in the resurrection. But today, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior listening, may I say today that He loves you, that He went to the cross, that He died for you, He shed His blood, and He rose again, all so that you might be saved. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. That's the only way to be saved, is by Jesus. This morning, before we close in prayer, I want to say today, you say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean exactly about Jesus living in my heart. May I explain just real quickly? We say a lot of times the ABCs of salvation. In other words, simply to have Jesus in your heart, to be saved, to know you're on your way to heaven, it's as simple as the ABCs. First, admit that you're a sinner. In other words, realize what the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, what's sin mean? I'll simplify it. It's doing something wrong against God's Word. Breaking, I'll give you an example, one of the Ten Commandments. How many of you ever lied? How many of you ever stole? We've all sinned. We've all done things wrong. Just admitting that in prayer to the Lord, Lord, I am a sinner. The second thing the Bible says we must do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In other words, we've got to admit that we're a sinner, but believe that He went to the cross, that He died, and that He did rise again. We believe that, and we place our faith in that alone for salvation. And we simply confess the C of ABCs. We confess that in prayer to the Lord. And we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe in what You did. I ask You to please cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. I place my faith and trust in You. I ask You today to save me. May I say, before we close, today if you do not know that Jesus lives in your heart, if you're not sure that you'd be ready to meet Him, if the coronavirus or some other thing, a car wreck, some other thing was to end your life in the coming days, coming weeks, coming months, coming years, maybe it's 30, 40 years for you from now, but however long it is that we could say, I'm ready to meet Him, and we could say, I know He lives because He lives within my heart. Today I would encourage you, it's not about magic words. It's not about praying a repeat after me prayer. Some people say, oh, I prayed, I did that. And if you did and you meant it and you truly did from your heart, you meant business with God and you meant it and you prayed and you asked Him to save you, then you're saved this morning, as long as you meant business from your heart. But today, maybe there's someone who's never truly done that and meant it. I want to take, as we close today in prayer, I want to close and try to help you this morning that if that's you and you say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord, but He spoke to my heart today. He's rolled the stone away, so to speak, and showed me that I needed to be saved and showed me what He did in rising from that tomb for me. I'd encourage you to pray after me. That won't save you unless you mean it from your heart and you talk to the Lord. Something like this, if you'd pray with me today, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, and ask Him to save you. Dear Lord Jesus, I come before You this morning. I come before You this morning. I come before You this morning. Easter Resurrection Sunday. I ask You, dear Lord, I admit to You that I am a sinner. I ask you to please forgive me of my sins. I believe that you went to the cross, that you died, and that you rose again so that I might be saved. I place my faith and belief in you today. And I ask you, dear Lord, to please forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart today and to save me. Thank you for what you did for me so that I might be saved and that I might be ready one day when my time here on this earth is up to see you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, if you happen to pray that prayer and you meant business from your heart to the Lord, I want to ask you to do me a favor, if you will. I love you. I want to try to help you any way that I can. If you know my phone number, most of you do. If you know my email, most of you do. Some of you do. I encourage you to shoot me a text, shoot me an email, give me a phone call later today or tomorrow sometime, and just let me know that you prayed to the Lord and you meant business and the Lord saved you. And I'd love to pray with you, to rejoice with you. And if you don't have my number, you can go onto our church website, our post here, and you can take and go onto the church website more privately and send an email to me. I'll get it and then I'll respond back. But I want to help you in any way that I can. I love you. The Lord loves you. Thank you for joining with us this morning. Thank the Lord He rose from the grave. Lord willing, next Sunday morning we'll be back again at 11 o'clock doing the same thing and see where the Lord kind of leads and guides from there. And Lord willing, even when we get back in the church, the Lord will work out the finances and things to where we could possibly do this live and get the equipment and things every week there as we have our church services. But we'll pray about that and see what the Lord does there and how He provides. Thank you, everybody, for coming this morning. Amen. For watching. Love you. Hope everybody has a good Easter. Spend time with your family. Amen. And know that I love you. But most importantly of all, know that Jesus loves you. Amen.